People figured if I give a chumash share, I'll talk less chumash in the Gemara share. Maybe, maybe not. Depends on the week. But when everyone comes to the chumash share. So I think this week we'll talk a little bit about the parasha, but definitely much less than a normal week. I guess every other week where there is no chumash share, we'll talk a little bit more. But this week, just a very couple short points that I think are worth mentioning on the parasha. In the beginning of the parasha, Rashi tells us that it was an extremely hot day. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the sun out of its case, Rashi says, made it extremely hot, and therefore no one came to visit Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was unhappy, therefore Hashem sent three malachim to make Avram Avinu happy. So I heard over Shabbos a kasha from Rabbi Peretz Steinberg, who was Rabbi Emeritus in Young Israel of Queens Valley, was very active in building up much of what Kugaran Hills, Queens, Kugaran Him, and Rabbi Schoenfeld, many, too many Rabbanim. Very involved, two very important figures in Queens history. Those of you probably know better than me, I'm only at the end of things, where they built up what I get to enjoy every single day in Kugaran Hills. So Rabbi Peretz Steinberg asked a very basic question. He says, doesn't understand. He says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the sun and made it extremely hot, because there was no visitors, so he says, why can't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just drop the temperature 60 degrees, and everyone would come back out? He doesn't know, why do we have to make a whole miracle of sending malachim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it extremely hot, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the weather, so he can make it extremely cold. Take the sun, put it back where it belongs, drop the temperature down 60 degrees, and all of a sudden there'll be traffic on the streets. Why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? So he explains that the tendency of a human being is that we sum up our day based on the beginning of the day. We wake up, we stick our head out the door, we say, oh, it's cloudy today, I'm only doing indoor activities. It's too hot today, I'm only doing indoor activities. So he said, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have dropped the weather 60 degrees, people still wouldn't have came out, because they already decided today's an indoor activity day. He goes on to explain something which I think is very important in life. He says, the way we start our day is the way our day is going to end. Meaning, if we start a day productive, we start a day in a good way, we're going to have a much better day throughout. Very appropriate for our share. Many of us in this room have a one day off a week, which is Sunday, and we can spend a lot of other ways spending the first hour and change of your day. But those who come here every single Sunday to come and learn, you're saying, I want my day to look a certain way. Because when we start a day in a productive way, especially learning Torah, our whole day has a different look. He says, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew once he made it too hot, that's it, people aren't coming back. Although he changed the weather, the way you start your day is the way your day is going to finish. We also find with the Anshei Sdoim, the whole city of Sdoim is hard to understand exactly what they did wrong. You look in various Mepharshim, you get various different reports of what they did wrong. They did Gidarayas, Avodah Zarah, Shvichas Damim, but everyone gives the blame of being anti-chesed. Their whole policy was anti-chesed policy. So the obvious question that Rabbi Chanan Wasserman asks, he says, Chesed is not one of the Sheven Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. That's not a reason for them to be destroyed. If their whole policy was they were anti-Chesed, okay. So they weren't Jewish. They don't have to be Bali Chesed. So why were they held accountable? Why was it there to be blamed because they weren't Oyvet Chesed? So the Ramban has a piece where he suggests it wasn't just that they were mean. It was that everyone else had a certain level of moral conduct, and they went under that. Meaning, even though it wasn't Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noach, but everyone, all the other neighboring towns and countries, had a certain etiquette. We did this, we didn't do this. They went under that. They were exceptionally mean, so to say, from all their neighboring towns. But Rabbi Chana Wasserman answers, he says, first of all, you're right. That's not why they got destroyed. They got destroyed because they breached one of the Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noach. Which one, says Rabbi Chana, they breached Dinim. They didn't have courts, they didn't have systems. It was free-for-all. It was anarchy. They didn't have a government. That was the problem. So he says, so what difference does it make if they're Baal Chesed? Says Rabbi Chana Wasserman, but Chesed would have saved them. Although they deserve to be destroyed based on their actions because they broke Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, they would have been saved in the merit of Chesed, writes Rabbi Chana. So he goes on to explain, you see how important Chesed is. That a Chesed can mamish save a person from destruction even though he deserves it. Based on his actions, based on his averus, he deserves to be destroyed like Anshei Sdoim. But if the people of Sdoim would have been nicer, more caring people, they would have done more chesed, they would have been saved from destruction, although they deserved it. It's interesting, many Gedolim said that although America, before the Holocaust, wasn't exactly what Europe was, Torah-wise and Yerushalayim-wise, but many Gedolim, I think they say in the name of Rabbi Chanan and others, that they knew America wasn't going to get destroyed. So they said, how do you know? So because the people in America do lots of chesed. They give a lot of tzedakah, they do chesed. When people do chesed, people do tzedakah, they're going to be saved. Maybe they don't deserve it. Maybe we weren't as frum, so to say, as those in Europe. But because the Jews in America at that time were doing unbelievable amounts of chesed, they deserve to be saved. They say, an unbelievable story with Blazer Gordon. Blazer Gordon started the Telz Yeshiva. Blazer Gordon was a Rav, and he ended up getting a job at the end of his life in Telz. And as part of being a rabbi, he also opened up a yeshiva called Telz Yeshiva. That's where Telz Yeshiva started, from Blazer Gordon. Blazer Gordon, when he got married, his father-in-law told him, I want to support you. I want you to learn, I want you to become a big gadol, I'm going to support you. Now keep in mind, his father-in-law wasn't any good millionaire, his father-in-law was also a rough. So whatever money he had. But he told the Blazer Gordon, I want to support you till you learn. Okay, so he was learning, and finally at some point, his mother-in-law said, listen, it's shine sight, you got to go get a job, you know, it's getting expensive. So Blazer Gordon went to look for a job, and he found a job, he found a rabbinic position. And he was ready to take it, and his father-in-law said, no, I don't want you to take the job. So his mother said, why? Well, why do you want him to take the job? She said, because how do I know that all my support of his Torah is why I'm still alive today? So the mother looked at him a little, okay, maybe, yeah, fine. He gave him another 3 years in Kailo, and then 3 years later, they probably had two more kids. And then he had to look for another job. So he went for another rabbinic job, and the same thing happened all over again. He was ready to take the job. His father-in-law said, nope, I want to continue supporting. This went on for another 5 years. Finally, at the end, the father-in-law said, okay, I'm willing to accept it. He packed his bags of Blazer Gordon. He was about to leave his father-in-law's house before he left. He said goodbye. His father-in-law came home from shul that morning and had a heart attack right then and there in the house. So the mother started screaming, you were right the whole time. And Blazer Gordon said, you know, you never know. When someone's supporting Torah, you don't know who's really supporting who. Was it the father-in-law supporting the son-in-law or was vice versa? So this is the idea of chesed. We don't realize when we do acts of kindness, when we do tzedakah, we don't know who's gaining and who's benefiting. We always think it's always the other side. Says Blazer Gordon, that's not true. You see from this story that sometimes when you give to support Torah or other good organizations like Chesed, you don't realize who's really receiving and who's really giving. And Blazer Gordon went on to start to tell the yeshiva, and he brought in his nephew. His nephew was Reb Shimon Shkup. Reb Shimon Shkup was brought in to be a Rebbe in Telz because Reb Shimon Shkup had no money either. Because the story goes, when Reb Shimon Shkup was in Volozhin Yeshiva, that someone came into the Volozhin Yeshiva and said, I want the best bracha for my daughter, and I'm going to support him forever and ever. So Reb Chaim Volozhin said, here, take Reb Shimon Shkup, he's going to be the next superstar. So everything was great. Reb Shimon was going to learn and not have to worry. Right before the Chasana, a few weeks before the Chasana, his father-in-law lost all his money. Completely went bankrupt. Nothing, not a penny. So all the Bachim and Yeshiva thought Reb Shimon was going to renege on the Shidduch, because that was the deal. We decided, and so everyone was shocked, and Reb Shimon didn't renege on the Shidduch. Reb Shimon went through with the Shidduch. Because Reb Shimon said, this guy just lost all his money, and now on top of that, he's going to have a broken Shidduch. How can I do that to the guy? He went through enough already. So he married his daughter, but now Reb Shimon needed a job. It was very nice, but he needed a job. So his uncle, Blazer Gordon, heard him speak at the Yafruf, and he was so impressed that he knew how to learn so well. So he took him as a Rosh Hashiva in Telz, and that's where Reb Shimon stayed for many years, as Rosh Hashiva in Telz, until he jumped around. And then he went to Grodno, where he ended up, the B'Seif Yom, of being a Rosh Hashiva in Grodno. He was Rosh Hashiva for 2 years in YU. He was Rosh Hashiva in 2 years in YU. And there's a little bit of machloikis, I think, how the story goes over here. I'll say it the way Rav Shechter says it, then I'll say it the way my Rebbe told it to me, is that my Rebbe is an enikel for Reb Shimon. He's my Rebbe of Kalman Epstein's. His mother was a granddaughter of Reb Shimon. So I trust him somewhat when he tells me the stories about the family. But the way the story goes, Reb Shimon was in YU. He was a Rebbe for 2 years in YU from 1929 to 1931. And he was collecting money for the yeshiva and sending it back to Grodno. Those years, the Grodno yeshiva was doing the best physically because he was making money. He had money in America. He was shipping it back to Grodno. So the way the story goes is that Reb Shimon wanted to stay in America. Reb Shimon wanted to stay and take and become a full-fledged Rosh Yeshiva in YU in the 1930s. And he didn't, and he went back. So the shaila is, why did he go back? So there, if Shechter sends it over, the reason why he went back was because getting a lot of the Gedolim in Europe are sending him letters. We need you, you need to come back. We need you desperately. He says it also, he says that Reb Shimon felt that the future of Torah is not going to be in Europe. Reb Shimon felt America is going to be the future. That's why he wanted to stay. But he was getting so much pressure from other Gedolim, so he came back. My Rebbe told it to me slightly different. He said that, this is the way he said it to me, he said Reb Shimon had a yeshivish daughter-in-law who was nervous that if they moved to America, the family would go off the derech. So that's why Reb Shimon moved back to Europe. That's the way my Rebbe told it to me. But in any case, so Reb Shimon became, and if you look at many of the literature, you'll find that they put him down as one of the, he was Rosh Yeshiva for 2 years in YU, until he went back to Europe, and he died before the war. He had a heart attack. When they closed his yeshiva, he just had a massive heart attack, and he died. Right before the Haskalah war, he died davening mincha wearing his Rabbeinu Tam Tfilin, which my Rebbe has today, his Rabbeinu Tam Tfilin. He got it somehow, because his mother was, Bamish buried him with her hands. She buried him in the, right then and there, together with Reb Koppelman. Reb Koppelman was a Rosh Yeshiva, just died a few years ago. Reb Koppelman had a big yeshiva in Europe. So Reb Koppelman was also Talmud. So him, so my Rebbe's mother and Reb Koppelman together, they buried Reb Shimon right then and there when he died by Mincha. But in any case, so that became the Telz yeshiva, and that's where many of the yeshivas come from today. Many Talmidim come from Telz. It's all from that story of the Blazer Gordon. So it's a very important story to keep in mind. Okay, let's get back to the sugya over here. We're holding in the sugya of Kinyan Dalet Amos. It's Mevor in the Mishnah that if a person wants to use Dalar Amis and Rishas Rabim or Tzidei Rishas Rabim to make a kinyan, in our Mishnah we were talking about not just Amik Kinyan, we were talking about getting the Kiddushin, which is a serious type of transaction. If a man is standing, if a lady standing in Rishas Rabim, let's say, and the husband throws the get and it's within her Dalar Amis, so the halacha is based on the Mishnah that she's divorced. The kasha that we showing them all have, and this is where we left off last week, was how does that make any sense? The entire concept of Kinyan Dalaramas is only made up by the Rabbanan. It's not anywhere in the Torah. It's a Kinyan Dalaramas. How could a Kinyan Dalaramas create a Chaloyiz Dairais? That's the kasha that all the Rishonim deal with in our Sugya. How can you have a process where you're telling me that as far as the Torah is concerned, she never has the get? She never owns the get, so she's not divorced. So the Rabbanan say she's divorced. So we're going to allow a lady to get married based on a rabbinic divorce, and as far as the Torah is concerned, she's not divorced. It seems very strange. So the Rishonim all ask this question, and the way they answer it is really going to sum up how they understood the sugya. So let's start over here. Number one, the Ran by Yosem Gittin asks this question. He writes, "The Afagav the Dalar Amos of Kuli Ama Ina Kain is Dvar Torah." Even though everyone agrees that Kinyan Dalar Amos is not working with the Raisa, given the Rabbanan Tiknu, because it was established by the Rabbanan, as we saw in the Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Yud, the Amish Yukainis says the Ran Hare Hiknuim Loi. So the Ran says a lot over here in a few words, but he basically introduces us to a new concept called Hefker Bezdin Hefker, that Bezdin has a power to play around with our money. They could take money from A. We know for sure they could take money from A and make it not A. The Chiddush over here is they could take money from A and make it even B's. That's the Chiddush over here. They could take money from one guy and penalize him, say, you lose your money. Not only do you lose it, I'm going to redirect it to someone else and it becomes his automatically without a Maisa Kinyan.
Which original is, redistribution.
Exactly, that's right. That's exactly where it comes from. That they have a power to take from one and give to another. And the chiddush over here is there's no kinyonim. No ma'isa kinyonim. It's all automatic. So we mentioned last week the way Rabbeinu Peretz says it, it's kima Yerusha. It works just like Yerusha. The same way a Yerusha doesn't need a ma'isa kinyon. If someone loses a parent, and the parent yarshes to them, they don't have to make a ma'isa kinyon on the money. It's automatic. It happens mimela. Yerusha is the one type of thing where it happens automatically. The money becomes yours, you don't have to do anything.
This is Gemara in Bava Basra, but talking about getting. So just the, everything's Lashon Zachar.
Yeah, yeah. This round is by us. This is really going by us. For some reason, it's in Lashon Zachar. I'm not sure why. It's a good point. But we're talking about over here that the Ish is kind of the get, but the round added words over here. He added, V'asom kichatzeiroi. When you have Dalar Amis, so now the pshat is it now becomes your chatzer. So the round is opening us up to a lumdis that your Dalar Amis is not just a pshat, the Chazal made a game. That anything that your Dalar Amis belongs to you magically. No, no, no. Your Dalar Amis now becomes your domain. This now becomes
so
your new domain. That's how it happened. That's how it became that way. Because Bezin decides that they have the power to decide who owns what and who's the Bailam on what. So they decided this becomes yours. You own this area. Now you own this get. But the problem still is, this is only on a rabbinic level. This is still not Deraisa. Hefker Bezin Hefker is also learned from Sukkim in the Navi. We're still on a rabbinic level. How do we get to a Deraisa level? So the way many people want to suggest it is that the Ran holds that Yisoy, that Kivegi discusses and others, that Kinyan Derabbanim Mahani Le Deraisa. If I own something on a rabbinic level, that works for a Deraisa level. That's part of Kinyan Derabbanim Mahani Le Deraisa.
So why do you need all the other myth? That's the punchline. So what's... Just say, can
you... Right, that's what you mean. No, because...
You don't need...
No, because Hefker Bezin Hefker is... Again, how does it become hers?
No, because if Bezin is allowed to make Kinyanim, and the Kinyanim, whatever they make them, because of the principle that Kinyanim of Derabbanan work for Deraisa, so that's the answer.
But how did it happen? Again, over here, when the Chazal never said, Dalar Amos Kaina said, what's the mechanics of it?
No mechanics.
There has to be mechanics.
The mechanics is that the Chazal were given the power... Rabbanu were giving a power.
No, that's not the Chiddush. Kinyan Rabbanu Mahana Deraisa means once Chazal decided X and Y is a Kinyan on a rabbinic level, right. But they had to first decide what makes something a Kinyan Rabbanu. They have to justify how they own it.
That's what the Gemara, they made it a Kinyan.
That's what they did. The question is how they did it. We're trying to figure out how this works. So according to the Ran, the way it works is another principle called Hefker Bezin Hefker, which over here the Chiddush is that I can take from one and make it someone else's. Now, there's... One second. So the Ramban, by all, suggests another pshat. The Ramban suggests a more, I guess he'd call it, conservative pshat, without so much lumdis. The Ramban says the kasha is not a kasha. Why? The time of the masnisin, again, this is the Ramban by us in Gittin. The pshat in our Mishnah, bein l'rav, bein l'rav, whether you hold like rav, that's dalar amis. Rav Yechim, which we'll have to talk, holds, it's not only dalar amis, it's 100 amis. Bishum dechod mekadesh, adait the rabban mekadesh. We have a new rule. Because when a man gets married to a lady, he says, "Rabbi Mekadesh Libedaz Kadas Moshek Yisrael." My marriage is as long as the rabbis say it's marriage. So the moment the rabbis say we're pulling the marriage is pulled. So it's not a kasha, how does the divorce work? You don't need a divorce to work because the marriage was pulled. The whole marriage was based on the premise that Chazal wanted such a marriage. Chazal said, you know what, we don't want the marriage. Which means,
Lemafreya.
Is
that Afkinu?
Yeah, called.
A group, so she's not a
group. So Lechaira would come out that Lemafreya, she was never married. Afkinu Banu Kedushin Minei Pashas means Lemafreya, she was never married. Right, she was annulled. So we spoke about this once before that there might be the Rabbanans involved in the Rabbanans make her Kigrusha Minei Rabbanan because they're afraid that not everyone's going to lom this between an Afkinu and a Get. But strictly speaking, Midarai, so the assumption would be is they were never married.
What if the husband dropped dead? There were no children during. Okay.
Pashtus not. Pashtus, if you hold it, it works in my fair, she wouldn't. While if you hold like the Ran, it's taka get. There's a big nafkamini between the Ran and the Ramban over here. According to the Ran, this is a legit get. How we pulled it off, we used Kinyan and the Ramban, but it's a get. Good old fashioned get. While according to the Ramban, it's not a get. It's a totally different type of lomdus. What's the lomdus? They were never married. That's all. That's a different experience. Meaning, when the Mishnah says they're divorced, it's not because the get created the divorce. They're divorced because their marriage ceased to exist, or never existed Lamafreya. That's so when they're divorced.
So, but they would still have to come up with a basis for this annulment. They can't.
Based on the rule that when you get married, your whole marriage is based on the assumption that Chazal wanted it.
But we know practically that that's not. I mean, the rabbi, if and when the Rebbeim are ever presented with that scenario, they struggle tremendously in terms of going back and trying to figure out. They can annul a marriage. They don't just
yeah. This was where this is back, where many suggested
say it's annulled.
This is where happen. This is why many people suggested to fix the Aguna problem. What's the problem? Pull this card of Kol HaMekadesh.
Yeah,
it gets a little. It's more complicated than that. But yeah,
and according to Ramban, if the guy's in Kohen, maybe he should be able to be married to Grusha.
Just tell me, he would be at least Midiraisa. Maybe the Rabban and the Big Zeris.
Right, but I'm saying Midiraisa.
And Achanan, they were never married.
Never. You know, Dr. Ramban kind of still the Raisa aspects.
What do you mean there is the Raisa aspect?
Pashtus
means Afkinu Rabbanu Kedushin Minei means they pulled the whole marriage. So if they pulled the marriage, they pulled it.
And when you get married, you're not just married to Rabbanu.
No, that's not saying you're married. The Pashtus, your marriage is Mitla Tali. It's in suspense. Assuming Chazal signed off, then it's signed off. If not, it's not signed off. Yeah, we have to really link Subas Daf Gimel when the Gemara introduces us to this Yisoid of Kol HaMekadesh and Afkinu Rabbanu Kedushin Minei, where it's a big sugya. But if you hold like the Ramban, it takes a lot of the lomdus out of it because it's not lomdus over here.
So all the kinyanim by kedushin are darbonim.
No.
So then there was a kinyan that was deraisa.
No, but the kinyan was in suspension. We don't know what was going to be with it. If the Chazal say we want it, so this it goes through. Chazal say we don't want it, so it never happened.
Why do we need Chazal to say it? The Torah said it.
What did the Torah say?
Making a kinyan kedushin.
A pashas, if you
based
make
on the Torah, so right. The darbonim.
Because the Torah never said anything about dalaramas.
So why don't we?
No, but that's by the get.
Hey, we're trying
I'm
to
saying if the Kedushin Lemafreya was right. Kedushin de Araisa,
right.
How did the Rabbanon, why are we saying it's totally on the Rabbanon?
Because that's the way they set up the marriage. When the marriage was set up initially, it was set up to be dependent upon the will and the wants
so
of Chazal.
30 years?
Yeah, in theory, that's...
So then I don't 30 years to build it. Why do I need a get?
You're right. You're right. In some cases, like in this case, that's how it's working.
But why would the get is deraisa? So why would the Torah even write
because
it
not,
again?
Because not every time does the Chazal have a reason to pull the marriage. If two people are married, got married as a wonderful young couple, and 10 years later they decided they have different hobbies, and now they want to get divorced.
No,
so that marriage had nothing to do with the rabbis. But that's not a rabbinic...
It's not compatible.
But that's not a rabbinic problem.
It must be that it was never intended.
No, that's not true.
No,
I don't think that's fair. To say that the Rabbanon decided that it's not rabbinic halachic versus the fact that you guys, you know, she's a Jet fan and you're a Giant fan, you guys can't make it work on Sunday afternoon. Okay, I understand.
But at the end of the day, that's what you're saying, because you're talking
about
the mechanics of it. It's only did you throw it into. It could be for any reason, wherever the seat is.
No, that's not the shot.
Now I threw it into her chatzer.
That's because Chazal decided that they want this to work a certain way. But
it has nothing to do with the underlying reason why they're getting divorced.
Of course,
something is frivolous is not like.
But you can't say that's why Chazal. That's true, but it's not because Chazal are breaking the marriage because of that reason. They're breaking the marriage because they made up that this is considered a get in their eyes. You put the get in a place where Chazal consider it to be a
muck. So it leads to frivolous conclusions. Because now someone's going to be divorced after 30 years of marriage because he doesn't like the Jets and she doesn't like the Giants or whatever.
Without a get? No. With a get, yes. 100%. With a get. His kasha was, you don't need a get. Of course you need a get. Okay. So now, this is what comes out according to the Ramban. The way most Achrayim learn that what's the Nekudas HaMachloikis between the Ran and the Ramban, the underlining theme, is this Yisoid. The Ramban said, I can't learn like the Ran. I can't play Hefker Bez and Hefker over here. Why? Because what does Hefka Bezin Hefka do? Hefka Bezin Hefka means midrabanan, and she owns the get. So what does that do for me? I mean, she owns the get midrabanan, and she's still only divorced midrabanan. We're still back to square one. So the Ramban suggested a new pshat. How did the Ran's pshat fit? Because the Ran says a kinyan derabanan works on a deraisa level. So the machlokes between the Ran and the Ramban is this yisoid. Does a kinyan derabanan help on a deraisa level? That's the simple way of learning the machlokes. There's a problem. There's a couple of problems over here. First of all, if you hold like the Ramban, that Dalaram is basically is not really kinyan by get, it's just working with Kalam HaKadosh, asks the Avnei Meluim, what do you do by Kiddushin? Our Mishnah said that Dalaram works both for get and Kiddushin. So I understand get according to the Ramban, it works Kalam HaKadosh. So when I got married, my marriage was Mitl Tole. And therefore they could pull the marriage. How does it work by Kiddushin? We didn't get married yet. We're trying to figure out, should we get married? So you're going to tell me that we got married mid Rabbanon. But again, Chazal can't create the marriage. Uh-huh. They can decide if a Kinyan Daraisa continues to go. Mm-hmm. But you don't have a marriage yet. So if you don't have a marriage yet, how could your Kinyan Rabbanon marriage work mid Daraisa? That's the Avnei Meluim's kasha on this Ramban. Shmuel Rozovsky brings down a different kasha. His kasha is that what do you do by Shtar Shichra? There's a Gemara that says if you give a Shtar Shichra to your Eved, you want to free him, you put it in his Dalar Amos, so the Eved goes free. Asks him Shmuel, there's no Kalam HaKadosh Adaiti De Shtar Shichra over there. How is that supposed to work? So therefore, this is a problem that many people have with the Ramban. So the Avnei Meluim comes up with a whole Geshmak of Pshat.
It's Dinei Mamonis. I don't worry about HSS. Yeah. It's pure Dinei Mamonis.
Well, 1 second. We know that there's other Dinei by Nevet as well. Right? We always tumble about
but
this.
But at root, it's
that's always the Shaila. Is it a Mamonis Kinyan with the Surim? Is it Issa Kinyan with Mamonis? Right? That's part of the whole discussion. So the Avnei Meluim comes up with an unbelievable chap over here and how to learn the Sugya. If you look over here, number 3, he writes, "Ikel meidik lefi divrei Ramban teinich begitin the kivin dechalam mekadosh that Rabban mekadosh b'hani begitin lemishveish zish u'shem dafkin Rabban lekedushin minei so b'hani legita the Rabban avol bekedushin asks Avnei Meluim im einay elam the Rabbanon if they're only married on a rabbinic level heich yitochid l'havi b'zeh kedusha Torah how does a kedushin the Rabbanon become a kedushin the Raisa the afkav the mekadosh that the Rabbanon even though we have a principle that their marriage was with the consent of the rabbis, loy mahani b'zeh kedusha Torah, that doesn't help to make it a kedusha deraisa. The gabe gita, when it comes to the get, the rabbanu mahani le, hadim mikalish daid rabbanu kedesh yuchal mafkia, Chazal can pull the marriage. That's in rabbinic power. Avol lehepach lasis mikedusha derabbanu kedusha Torah, but the rabbanu can't make a kedusha derabbanu into a kedusha deraisa. Yevsher, v'loy motzi mashri mikedusha derabbanu kedusha Torah v'lek. So therefore, ask Stavnei Meluim, how did the Ramban learn kedusha? So the Ramban comes up with an unbelievable chap. He says we misunderstood the Ramban.
Why is it easier? I don't understand. Why is it easier to pull it than to make it from a Rabbanan?
Because the marriage was based on our consent. So right. If we consent, then we allow.
Why don't you say the same thing? Then when the Rabbanan make that law, it goes to your eyes automatically.
How did that happen? You just took a big jump. You just said that something works automatically.
Yeah, in other words, the same way that they could pull a marriage. Right, they could say, the Rabbanan have the power to say that, you know, now it's on a deraisa level.
But that's not the same thing. The reason why the Rabbanan can pull the marriage is because the whole marriage was put up with their consent. Right. So, but to say that we consent to the marriage, great. But our consent only goes so high.
Isn't there a thing of every Rabbanan is a deraisa also?
That's a loisasa issue. That's not in power of Kenyan. So I'm not even loisasa, but it doesn't mean my Kenyan jumped now to a deraisa level. Mm-hmm. So Pashup Shat, the way we learned that the Ran will, it's totally whether or not, is that a problem? The Avnei Meluim wants to suggest that both the Ramban and the Ran agree that a Kinyan Derabanan works on a Deraisa level. And that's not the Shaila. And this is the gate to many things. Let's say Chametz. Let's say I'd sell the guy my Chametz with a Kinyan Derabanan. Would I be over Bayi Rab Bayi Matzah? Because as far as the Torah is concerned, it wasn't a Mechira. The answer is no. Kinyan Derabanan Mahanala Deraisa. Although, right, the Mishnah Berurah writes we do like eight types of Kinyanim when we sell Chametz together. Because we're Chayshish for all Chomer. We do every Kinyan under the book. Why? Let's just do one Kinyan Derabanan and Kinyan Derabanan Mahanala Deraisa. Okay? So we're machmir. Make red, then you probably can get away with it. You do one kinyan, whether it even be the Rabbanon. Maybe you do mois, depends if you hold a kibbutz and mishlokish, or you do a chalipin, whatever it may be. But really, kinyan the Rabbanon works on the deraisa level. So ask Stavnei Meluim, so why did the Ramban have to become so creative? Why couldn't he just learn like the Ran, Hefke Bezin Hefke? So says Stavnei Meluim, a gevalde gechap. He says, V'nira, the gamin Ramban svile, the kibbutz, the tikkun Rabbanon, they'll have a kinyan, mahani midaraisa. Or we should have Hefke Bezin Hefke. Avada, Hefke Bezin Hefke works on a deraisa level. Ella, the guf dalaramas, a makam ashmir, if you bez the ma'ilim. Said Avnei Meluim, but Chazal never gave you the dalaramas. They never said you own your dalaramas around you. What did they say? They just said that anything that's in your dalaramas, you automatically own. It was a bailus takana. The takana wasn't you own the dalaramas surrounding you, and it becomes your new extended chatzar. That's not what they did. All they did was they said that anything that's found in your dalaramas, you own it. That's it. This was the old chakira we started off with last week and the week before. How does Dalai Lamas work? Is the pshat Dalai Lamas means the Chazal gave you, extended your chatzar into the Rishas Rabbim? And the Chazal said, you know what? Although chatzar is really only your backyard or your driveway and your purse, we're going to extend it. Chazal or Misakin that your area extends four Amas and Rishas Rabbim. Well, Chazal never said that. Chazal just said, anything in your Dalai Lamas becomes yours.
That would only work in Rishas Rabbim.
As opposed to?
Well, if you are in
if you're in someone else's,
you're not Amos, you're not
so then it's
the
that's real chatzar. Then, what do you mean? If it's
you're in somebody else's backyard,
so you don't have
Dalai Lamas. Really, would never own
that's correct.
The land. But, now it's an Indian of owning having the bialis of whatever falls.
Right.
There.
So Dalai Lamas, you don't have Dalai Lamas in someone else's backyard. Dalai Lamas is only either in Rishas Rabbim or what's called Sidi Rishas Rabbim, a little bit off the main street. But I can't walk into your house and have Dalai Lamas because that's already your domain. Well, we'll see that. We'll see in a few minutes, hopefully, what's pshat in Rishas Rabbim. So says that in the Meluim, very simple.
So in what they make it your Dalai Lamas legabi deraisa.
They make it no. That's still going to be rabbinic.
Your ability is
still. So says the Avdi Meluim.
Your ownership is only a drabbanon.
1 second,
ownership.
But that's okay. Says Avdi Meluim because the kinyan drabbanon works on a deraisa level. So then, why did the Ramban have to come up with a creative reason? Says the Avdi Meluim because by get, it's not about owning the get. It's not about owning the get. This is repeating what we. It's right. It's not about owning the get. By gerushin, it's not sufficient to say the isha owns the get. The isha needs to have what's called an asina lirushusa. You must put the get in her domain, whether it be her hand, her purse, her backyard, or her car. You have to put an asina lirushusa. Says the Avdim Lum, there is no asina lirushusa here. When you put the get in the Dalai Lamas, although it became hers, but there was never an asina lirushusa. So by kiddushin, you don't need that. By kiddushin, all we need is the lady to own the money. So she owns the money. Because hefker bezin hefker means she owns the money on a deraisa level. So why did the Ramban have to be so creative, says the Avdim Lum? Because by get, that's not enough. By get, it's not enough to say she owns the get. She has to own the get and be considered that the get's in her possession. That you don't have by Dalai Lamas, says the Avdim Lum. Because he writes that a Dalai Lamas never becomes your place because it's fleeing. How could something be your domain in 1 minute and then 2 minutes later it's gone? It seems to be very funny. So the more logical way of understanding it, says Avdim Lum, they never gave you the area. It's not your area. You have no bialis in Rishas Rabbim. So how am I claiming it? It's a magic trick. Chazal said you own the chayfiz. Says the Avnei Lum, owning a chayfiz does not create chalas gerushin. If an isha owns a get, she doesn't become divorced. She has to have an asina l'rishusa. So therefore says the Avnei Lum,
that's why kedushin was worth for gerushin.
Exactly. That's why the Ramban had to be created by gerushin. Why by kedushin? It could have left simple. And that's an answer to the kasha. That would be a problem of Kli Gidich HaMakabekarka, right.
So by Gershon, he had to fall back on that...
Kol HaMakadosh, exactly. So that, what was Avnim Lum's kasha? What do you do by Kedushin? Well, I have no kasha by Kedushin, says Avnim Lum. Kedushin, I can use a good old-fashioned Hefker Bezen Hefker. Uh-huh. By Get, I had a problem. Why did I have a problem by Get? Because the Avnim Lum understood, at least in the Ramban, that the way Hefker Bezen, the way Kinyan Dalai Lamas works, it's a magical Kinyan straight to the person. That doesn't work for Gershon. Now, we all know this is Talina used Machloikis Rishonim, which we've spoken about many times. Rashi, Shita is clearly not like this. Rashi, in a couple places, hold, you just as long as you own the get, we don't care how you get right. The get. That's good enough. But Akoponim, the way the Avdim Lum learns the Ramban, it sheds light on how the Ramban learned Dalai Lamas. The Ramban learned Dalai Lamas is not the pshat that the Dalai Lamas becomes your chatzim. Because if that would be the pshat, then the Avdim Lum's kasha wouldn't work. That's the way the Avdim Lum explains.
But the Ran says it doesn't come.
The Ran, exactly. Now you understand why the Ran added words. V'asom kichatzei roi. The Ran, the Fiza, knew this problem. And he said, no, because you misunderstood Dalai Lamas. Dalai Lamas is a pshat that Chazal gave you the area. This Dalai Lamas becomes your house. So there's an Isinul Rishus, you have no problem. Yeah. It's only so much you can do. You know, it's a kinyan derabbanan. There's only one problem with Ishtigot Torah and Avnei Meluim. I think it's a steer to a Ramban and Baba Metzir. The way the Avnei Meluim learns the Ramban by us in Gittin, what's the lumdus? The lumdus is that Dalai Lamas is not your backyard, but the way Dalai Lamas works, it's a magical trick. Chazal gave you the chayfetz. The Ramban in Bo Metzia, quoted by the Shindu Kubetzes, has a kasha. He's getting involved in Machloikis Rishonim, which we spoke about for the last 2 weeks. Does Dalai Lamas work by other places besides for a Metzia and Hefka? The Gemara in Bo Metzia says the reason why they instituted Dalai Lamas was for fights. So many Rishonim thought that that's only where there's fights. Things like Hefka and a Metzia, but things that are not disputable. I want to sell you something. You have no right to it. Where's the fight? So the Ramban is commenting on those Rishonim, and he writes, Hodam Mino and Arba Amish Shalom Kernisle B'chom Mokim Nire. Many Rishonim hold it's only true by Mitzvah v'Hefker. Avoloi b'mechu matana, but not by a gift where there's another party that's being maknit. She'ein kerna b'abba misal takon b'shem insui b'Hefker. Because it's only about fights and there's no fights. Then the Ramban ends. The Loshen ha-Gemara mashma the kern is b'chol dover. However, says the Ramban, I disagree. I think the wording of the Gemara implies not like that. Why? De shavinu rabbanan kichat seiroi. Because says Ramban, I think the lomdus of Kinyan Chatzar, Dalaramis is that Chazal made it like Yechatzar. And if they made it like Yechatzar, you have to add into Ramban. And the male, if they made it like Yechatzar, it shouldn't matter what the thing is. They made it, now it's your backyard, l'chol mili. So Bishlama, says Ramban, if the pshat was Chazal decided to gift it to you, so then Chazal said, this we give, this we don't give, this we do give, this we don't. But the way Chazal did it was with a lomdus. And the lomdus was, we now extend your backyard. The Ramban feels it's hard to believe we extend your backyard sometimes and sometimes
even
we don't.
Even though the reason we
right. And you can argue, and I think you can argue on that, but that's what Ramban says. Now this Ramban, and therefore he thinks it should include Mecha Chomemka. Now this Ramban does not shtim with the way the Avnei Melumah is saying it. Now it's Mamish not like that. The Avnei Melumah is suggesting the opposite in the Ramban. Yeah, I think that's a kasha.
Isn't this from now like the Ron?
Yeah. He sounds like he's suggesting like the Ron. So the Achrenim want to come up with an answer that he doesn't mean the Lumbus, he just means the outcome. He doesn't mean that's working like a chutzah, he just means it works just like where chutzah works. I don't know. I think it's somewhat of a horror, I think. I think it's even a good horror. This Ramban doesn't work with the way that Avnei Melumah understood the Ramban.
The point is that ownership is not enough by...
Right, but if you hold this also kechatzah, so then you are good enough.
Well, maybe that's
putting it into your...
Is that a rishus?
I would have assumed that's what it means, kechatzah. That's what I would have assumed in the words of the Ramban.
Maybe it's a limited... Yeah, you have the kid, so you can...
Maybe. I'm not saying you can't. I just think this Ramban, if I had read this Ramban without knowing anything else, I think the Ramban in this piece in Bumatzi is injecting a lot of lomdus into the sugya, which is fine. And based on that lomdus, I would have not learned the Ramban like that in Gittin.
Well, again, what Avkinu's adding is, we still go back to the Kaddish, only yours the Rabbanah.
No, the Ramban held according to Avnei Melumah that the Rabbanah makes it deraisa. Yeah. That was the starting point of Avnei Melumah.
You never answered the lomdus of that, though. You're lomdus? Still at the end. How does the Rabbanah become a Rabbanah?
That's
what you started out with the Kaddish.
Yeah, that's a share for a different time.
It helps.
No, that's a share for a different time. To say Kinyan the Rabbanah out of the rice, that we need to talk about at a different time. 100%. Okay. That's getting around the Kasha, right.
So just go back to David's question for a second. So if you're in a private house, somebody else's house, and Shliach comes in, sees you, right, wants to deliver the get, not in your house, somebody else's house, and puts it right next to you, doesn't put it in your hand, puts it right next to you, you're saying that the concept of Dalad Amo would not apply.
Right?
It's the only way you could affect the way you get in that case is if it was you physically put it in their hand.
Or if the owner allows you to use the house. He gives you some form of hishtamshus and rights and other things. Yeah.
Rights, not just the right to come onto my property, but something beyond that.
Correct.
Even though there's no dispute, it is given to this woman.
Yeah, but I can't have Dalad Amos in your rishus. It's your possession. How do I get in Rishus HaRabim? We'll see in a second. Is there some more of a free for all in Rishus HaRabim? No one really owns it.
Nobody owns it.
So that we'll see in a second. The Dvar Ram has a chab because no one owns it. Everyone owns it. We'll have to talk about that.
Or
in a
minute. Nobody owns it.
Or something along those lines.
It's the only woman. She's the only wife.
Doesn't matter. There was no Nesina.
Her name's written on it.
Where's the Nesina LeRishusa? Where's the Nesina LeRishusa?
If you don't need it, but you don't need Rishus if it's a Rishus.
But how she claimed it?
If the Chazal wanted it to work,
she's got to somehow get the get.
If the Chazal wanted it to work, they could make it Hefkabez and Hefkar, even if
again,
even
this is what we spoke. We spoke about this last week. That if Chazal made it Takana, Takana Tagunus, they could have decided if the husband claps his hand three times, she becomes divorced. They don't do that. Chazal didn't do that.
But if you're saying that in Rishus HaRabim, we said that it was an Indian of Bilas. You own the item because you don't own the land.
Right.
Dalad Amos does not create a resource in the land.
Right.
Right? So therefore, Dalad Amos works because you own the item that was in your Dalad Amos.
Right.
So if it's totally in the bylaws of the item, then in Rishus HaYachid, you don't own the land either.
No, because their Chazal never gave it to you. Chazal never. The reason why it works in Rishus HaRabim is because Chazal decided to prevent fights, we're going to just make it yours. But in Rishus HaYachid, there was never a reason for such a reason, a takana, so they never made it. So therefore, there was never an option to have Dalad Amos versus HaYachid. The Avnei Melumah at the end of this piece has another major chiddush in the sugya that's, I think, worth mentioning. He's coming to be masked with the Rambam Shita. The Rambam Shita is Kinyan de Rabbonon loy mahani le derais. A Kinyan on a rabbinic level does not make it derais. So if a man would go over to a lady and give her a ring in a Kinyan de Rabbonon setting, whatever the case may be, let's talk about the case that the Achorim talk about, Maimut Shloshtam. There's a Gemara in many places in Shas that says, there's a Kinyan de Rabbonon called Maimut Shloshtam. What does that mean? It means if I have an object by Reuven, he's holding it, he's a Shemet Pikadin. I tell Reuven, you know what? I want that object that's sitting in your house to belong to this girl, and with that she'll become married to me. And we're all standing around, we all agree. That Kenyan is that she now owns that object and we're now married. That's a real magic trick. No Kenyanim, no nothing. That's called Maimon Shlosh and the Kenyan de Rabban. So let's say, for example, according to the Rambam, you do such a trick. So she'd be married only to Rabbanon and not on a Deraisa level. Because the Rambam sheet is, a Kenyan de Rabbanon does not work for a Deraisa. That's the Rambam sheet. So asks the Avnim Eluim, so how did the Rambam learn our Gemara? I answered, says Avnim Eluim and our Gemara, that everyone held Kinyan Rabbanon works for the Reis and Kedusha is not a problem. But that wasn't the opinion of the Rambam. The opinion of the Rambam is that a Kinyan Rabbanon does not work on a Reis level. So how can the Rambam learn our Gemara that if you give a lady a ring and you throw it into her Dalai Lamas, which is only a Kinyan Rabbanon, how do you explain the marriage on a Reis level? So you'll tell me, don't worry, a Kinyan Rabbanon works the Reis. No, it doesn't, according to the Rambam. And you don't have kala. You don't have kala mekadosh. You don't have rabbanon mekadosh like the Avnim Eluim stated earlier. So it's right. We're already stuck. Yeah.
Rambam calls kedusha kesef derisover.
Yeah. And what does he mean by that?
Well, if he holds that, kinyan derabbanon
don't. That's a shaila. That's a shaila. They found manuscripts much later of the Rambam that the Rambam says clearly that he really holds his derisive, even though he writes the words mitzvah. I think as we spoke about this many times together here, whenever the Rambam writes mitzvah, what exactly does he mean? It's not always mochach that he holds his derisive. It could be he holds his deraisa. I think there's too many Rambams in too many different places where he uses words mitzvah seif, and it's always hard to figure out what he means. Possible that that's what the Rambam holds, but I think the assumption that the Lum sets it up is that the Rambam holds. He has all the rayas that kinyan derabbanan lay mahani on a deraisa level. So how do you answer the kasha? So the Lum comes up with an unbelievable chap. He writes the imkain yisyat number 5 on the left side. He says imkain yisyashu divi haramam disfile kedivi haran. He holds like the Ran. So let's stop right here. First Chiddush says the Rambam, says Avnim Eluim, the Rambam holds Dalai Lamas became your new possession. On a rabbinic level, which doesn't help us because according to the Rambam, rabbinic level doesn't create deraisa. So we're still stuck with the question. Says Avnim Eluim, a big Chiddush over here. What does it mean to be your possession? It means you have rights. What we call today hishtamshus. I can use it. That's the definition of my bailus. My ownership in this Dalai Lamas is that I have rights to use it. So he says, the chotzer de marbi lab davka chatzeroi. So when the Torah says you got to put a get into her chotzer, what chotzer did we mean? Ela ikr talya b'rishus mishiyesh l'rishus boy hu zehu chatzeroi. Says Davin Malum, all the Torah cares about one chotzer, it's not about whose name is on the lease. It's who has rights to use it and to come as they want in here. So this would set us up for the big shot, which we've spoken about, what do you do with the seichel, which is really a machlokes rishonim. But according to Avnim Eluim, he says, of course, you only own it mid rabbanon, but kinyan chatzer is not about ownership. It's about rights of usage. And although your rights and usage are only on a rabbinic level, but midaraisa, all you need is rights and usage. It's not about what we call bailus amiti. It's not about who owns the Dalai Lamas. It's about who has rights to the Dalai Lamas. And because she has rights to the Dalai Lamas, although it may be only the Rabbanim, but at the end of the day, she has complete access and usage of this area. That's our chatzah. That's what the Torah looks at as chatzah. When the Torah wrote, put again into a chatzah, the Torah's definition of a chatzah is to the one who has rights of usage to this area. So then it's a kinyan deraisa. The fact, if it was about ownership, so of course, she doesn't own it derisa. It's not about ownership. It's about usage, rights, permission. She has permission.
So can why?
The only
gain they have
through...
By get, yeah.
The only gain they have through going through the...
But what we need is not ownership. If what we needed was ownership, so then this is a lower level ownership. We don't need ownership.
No, you need status.
Right, so that status could be midrabban, because it's reality. The status is true. She does have access.
And it's exclusive.
And it's exclusive to her. She is completely the Baal Bas. So tell me, well, you're only the Baal Bas deraisa. Who cares? That doesn't matter. What the Torah looked down, when the Torah says, I want a chatzar. What does the Torah care about a chatzar? So says that they wanted an area that she is the only one who can control. No, that fits the criteria. So that's good enough. Therefore, says that in Meluim, that's good enough, even according to the Rambam. Very interesting chap.
By Kedushin also, or just by Gerushin?
This is by Kedushin we're talking about. By Gerushin, this won't help. Because by Gerushin, well, I don't know what the Rambam holds, how the Lomas of Dalai Lamas works. But that would depend. And Acharami says that. So
you don't have to say the whole thing that he said in the Ramban.
But that's because he holds that the Ramban doesn't believe like that. If the Rambam were to believe that by Gerushin it would work, and Acharami, you have to go back and see how the Rambam understood Chatzar and Gerushin. Based on this Avnim Eluim, we can answer up another kasha. We learned the sugya on Daf Ein Zayin, which, believe it or not, was only an Omer ago. So it was like 2 years ago. But it was a Gemara that we learned about a Shchiv Meira. He had a fellow who was about to die, and he wanted to divorce his wife. And he didn't have the get with him. It was Erev Shabbos. It was this whole creative story. He has to figure out how can he get the get to the issue. So the Gemara came up with all these ideas. That you'll do chatzer, kinyan agav. So the Mordechai has a very simple kasha. He says there's a rule. Divrei shchiv mera kiksuv luchum surim dami. If shchiv mera says, I want money, go here. It goes here. You don't need any kinyan. Midrabanan. The Rabbanan did this to make the shchiv mera's life easier because we're afraid any more stress is gonna kill him. So we want to make his life as easy as possible. So if the guy shchiv mera says, I want to give $100,000 to this yeshiva, That's it. You don't need any kinyanim, the money goes. So frek the Mordechai. So if the Shchimera says, I want this get to go to the ladies, so boom, the get becomes the ladies. Who needs any fancy creative kinyanim? What happened to that rule? So the Mordechai answers, he says, yeah, but Divrei Shchimera is only kinyan de Rabbanan. We want her to own the get there, Eiser. That's the Mordechai. So ask the Machne Ephraim. He says, well, hold on a second. Now all of a sudden you're Machbe that you can't have a kinyan de Rabbanan to be Poyla de Eiser. Yet the whole sugi of Dalai Lama is kinyan de Rabbanan, and everyone's okay with it. What's the difference? So if you look over in the number 6 from the Sefer Teres Aviram, he says, no, but according to this Avni Melum, it's not a kasha. Why? Vine lefitirutu shal Avni Melum yushev es nami shittas ha-mordechai. Shekosev dehod lehik da ha-shchimira ha-shom bikinyo divi shchimira ha-ksum b'shom domi. Hainu kivin da ha-virak kinyo divi rabbanu lahim hana deraisa. V'teima ha-machin ha-frayim ma-shtom bikinyo dalar amas tam hana deraisa ulefiza osi shapir. Why? Because when you're talking about dalar amas, all you need to define is who has rights of usage. So I have rights of usage. That's enough to make me a kechatzid eraisa. But by giving the get to the lady through divei shchimera, that's a straight kinyan derabbanan. A straight kinyan derabbanan does not make it a deraisa. I said, how does dalar amas work? Because by dalar amas it becomes that she has exclusive rights to the area. That's enough to be another deraisa level. So it's not a kasha from the case of divei shchimera. So if he suggests, it answers the kasha.
It suggests exclusive rights to the area. But she walks 2 feet that way, she just lost the rights to this area.
So that's why the Avnei Melum initially didn't like this pshat. He didn't like saying that Dalai Lama becomes your chassid. It's such a strange thing. Well, it changes so quickly. Bishlam is something that I own. So the only way to change the status is by doing a ma'aseh. That's why, in the middle of this piece over here, that's why the Avnei Melum doesn't like learning that in the Ramban. Because of this kashan. It's a very strange thing. It changes after 3 seconds.
It's about control of the get, not ownership of the get.
And who?
With the Avnei Melum, it's who controls the get, right?
No. It's not who controls the area. The Avnei Melum's chap is I want to make this area a chassid eraisa.
So Ma'aseh Shchimera
right.
will not provide that.
Right. Ma'aseh Shchimera only makes it, you own it to Rabbanan. Right. But that's not enough. So Reb Shmuel.
The whole thing about the Rabbanan working
deraisa. So that's what we answered back then. That if you hold that King Rabbanan works for the deraisa, that would answer the kasha also. Right. So Reb Shmuel Zavsky over here in his shurim brings down another interesting chap from Reb Kiveg. Another nafkemina lahalocha between the Ramban and the Ran. And just we'll review. According to the Ran, it works with Hefker Bez and Hefker, so it's working just basically King Rabban Mahana de Raisa. While according to the Ramban, it's working with Kala Mekadosh. Or more Lomdish way of saying it is according to the Ran, Dalai Lama is the Pshat that becomes extension of your backyard, while according to the Ramban, Dalai Lama is just the Pshat that the Kala Fkin Rabban Kedushimin. So says Reb Kiveger, Reb Shmuel Zavsky calls Reb Kiveger, who says it's Heyer, number 7 on the left side. He said, "Diyeh nafkemina ben Aran the Ramban, kishunafl gneiv ba Dalai Lama shaloi, bizman shay sham gam metziya." What would happen if a guy has in his backyard, at the same time where in his Dalai Lama's, a piece of Gneva falls in, a Metziah also falls in? All right, so we know Dalai Lama's works for Metziah, it doesn't work for Gneva. So how would this work now? So Reb Kiveger assumes, he says like this, Im kaharan, sheik no Dalai Lama's kachat seiroi. The Ran assumes that if the way Dalai Lama's works is a pshat that they extended your backyard, so they can't extend your backyard for the same object in the same time halfway. It can't be. If they extended it for Metziah, it's got to work for Gneva. It's got to be. You can't split the two. Says Reb Kiveger, so if you hold like the Ran, that the Pshat, they extended your backyard, so that even though normally they never made a takana for Gneva, here by default they have to, because in Lomdus they can't split it into two. Which again, you can argue that principle as well.
Pieces?
Two different pieces falling at the exact same time. So says Reb Kiveger, how do you split the two? If the Lomdus was that this became, so we were all answer, what's the problem? In Lomdus, it works for this, and Reb Kiveger thinks that's not true. However, he writes, he says,
I understand the question. If it fell into your actual rishus in your backyard, Geneva, you don't know, right?
So we're assuming over here you want, I guess you want to be kind of the, assuming you want to be kind of Dalai Lama's. Obviously, if you don't want to be kind of it, it's not going to work for you. Then it gets a little bit more tricky.
If it doesn't work in real chatzit, it doesn't work in fake chatzit.
Right.
Well, real chatzit we spoke about last week, that you have to make a ma'aseh gneiva on it. That's why, that was the whole problem we had.
Close the door.
You have to close the door, like Rashi says. It doesn't,
right.
You have to show that you want to, right, exactly, you want to show.
So
that's
the question with Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and Dalai Lama's. It should be the same thing.
No, what?
Why can't you make a nafka mina between a matana and a dover gneiva?
Right, so most Rishonim do make that distinction. They say it doesn't work by gneiva. Reb Kiveger is assuming like that Gneva doesn't work Dalai Lama's. But what happens if at the exact same time there's a Gneva there and a Metziah? So I want my chutz to function to get me the Metziah.
Yeah.
Says Reb Kiveger, so how do you justify why the Gneva doesn't become yours also?
Because it wouldn't become yours even if it fell into your actual rishus.
No, we know chutz is kind of a Gneva, assuming you want it to be.
If you want.
Yeah, but who says he wants?
So let's say he wants to get both. The guy's a real interesting guy. He wants to pick up everything that's free. He wants stolen things. He takes them. He takes everything that's other people's, right? So it says Kveger should be telling this Lundus. While he writes Aval Ramban Shlehiknu Akarka, but the Ramban doesn't learn. According to the Ramban, it's not the pshat that they gave you the karka. They gave you specific things. So then says Kveger, it's about specific things. So then they gave this. They didn't give that. That's how Kveger assumes such a chiluk. Interesting chiluk and Lundus. But let's move on a little bit in this Ramban. According to the Ramban, we're trying to figure out why didn't the Ramban just call the Hefker Bezen Hefker Rat? Why do you have to come up with this creative idea of Kol HaMekadesh? So the Ksav Sofer has another interesting chap. He writes like this in number 8. He says, V'lulei dvar of ha'inili ha'Ramban gamkim shvili dikin rabbanu mahanu l'deraisa. Says the Ksav Sofer, I would have suggested that the Ramban agrees completely to the Ran. That a kinyan rabbanu works on a deraisa level, we could have played Hefker Bezen Hefker. So why did we have to play the card of Kol HaMekadesh? He says, but it's Pashat. Because what's Dalar Amos? What's kinyan Dalar Amos? It's the Kanas Chazal. What type of Takanas Chazal was it for your Tayelis? This Isha could say, Yefshi, I don't want the Takanas Chazal. Whenever you deal with the Takanas Chazal, you always have to remember, you always have the right to say, I don't want it. Clearly, Dalar Amos was for your benefit, so you shouldn't fight with the next person. So the Isha doesn't want to get divorced. She wants to stay married. So when the husband says, I dropped the get your Dalam, she says, Yefshi, I don't want the Takanas Chazal. I don't want what the Chazal are offering. And you have a right to do that. So therefore, says the Ksav Sofer, that's why the Ramban had this problem. Even if they get Bal Korcha, but the Dalar Amos is not Bal Korcha. Chazal didn't.
You split it up.
So the Ksav Sofer is assuming that it's two steps. The way it works is first we say, well, the era becomes yours, and then after the era becomes yours, so now the divorce works with whatever lumnus you're going
to
assume.
You don't have that option, Hefka Bez
Lehefka. What?
You don't have that option, Hefka, I mean, at all kinds of that
concepts. Right, but that's only because you first had Dalar Amos, and then Chazal decided how Dalar Amos works. But if you never have Dalar Amos in the first place, again, Chazal said, we give you Dalar Amos, and the way we're giving is with Hefka Bez and Hefka. But if I say, I'm opting out in the beginning, don't give me Dalar Amos, so then nothing ever gets off the ground.
Don't you have to reject that before the event takes place? Meaning, you can't do it ex post facto.
Okay, so right before, she sees the husband's about to throw the get. She screams, I don't want Dalar Amos. So now you throw the get in her Dalar Amos.
Yeah, but the Dalar Amos existed before the person, she sees the person
that's true,
coming.
But it's not.
So as soon as she takes advantage at any point in time of Dalar Amos, seeing the person coming, she can't then retroactively say, just like what you were saying.
I'm not sure if that's true. I'm not sure if that's true, but in any case,
if I benefit from the Dalar Amos an hour earlier, I can turn around.
I don't know the storyline. First of all, what she could be doing is from Mikanel Haba. She's saying from now and on, from the next, at 3 o'clock, I want no more Kinyan Chatzah. So from 3 and on, it's not Kinyan Chatzah. She could be standing in the Dalar Amos the next 5 hours. But if she said from now and on, I don't want Chazal's Takana,
I don't know.
I don't either know.
Just the way you're saying split it, like you couldn't split it with respect to Geneva.
No, that's different. That's taking the exact same area at the exact same time and splitting it.
Okay, but but the concept is the same. If I'm going to take advantage of it in time A, I'm now am barred from an hour later saying, when it's not to my advantage.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not so sure. Maybe. I don't know. I think they talk about this. I think the Gemara talks about this. Let's say, for example, in Ksubis. The Gemara talks about cases where the lady can say, I don't want Takanas Chazal, so I don't want you to feed me. And instead, I want to keep my money. Because Chazal made a Takana that the husband he has to feed his wife. In exchange for the feeding, the wife has to give away her ma'asi dime. So sometimes, which is many the case today for many yeshiva people, the wife makes more money than the husband does. So the wife says, no, thank you. I'll keep my earnings and you don't feed me. So the question is, can she change it halfway into the marriage and say, you know what? I want things to go backwards. The first step of the marriage, it made more sense to me to say, I don't want the Kanas Chazal. You know what? Now what? I think they talk about it. Do you have the right to do that? But there, it's more complicated because there, she's earning money in the time. There's other halachas. I'm not sure who's right in your shayla. But that's we're trying to explain the Ramban. Why did the Ramban have to say that it's Kol HaMekadesh? Why couldn't he just learn Hefker Bezen Hefker? The answer is because if you're going to play Hefker Bezen Hefker works, Chazal said, we gifted you your Dalar Amos, and the way it works is Hefker Bezen Hefker. But let's say the Isha says, I don't want Dalar Amos, don't give it to me, I don't want to get divorced. Yefshi,
you know, there are cases where she could want it, and that's okay.
But
it wouldn't explain every case,
that's right. That's why he says the Ksav Sofer, the Ramban wants to get it through every case. That's why he says it that way. That's one answer. Another answer, let's say an answer from his father, the Chassam Sofer, he has even a more of a creative answer, which is also found in the Noi Yehuda, and it's based on the following insight. When we talk about a Kinyan de Rabban and Mahana de Raisa, it depends what stage we are in the story. Let's go, for example, the case of Maimit Shloshtin. Maimit Shloshtin is a guy has an object by his friend, and he tells his friend, the object that's in your house, I want it to belong to the Isha, and with that Kedushin, I want to make her marry. So the Gemara said, that's Kinyan de Rabbanan, Kinyan de Rabbanan, Lema Hanu de Raisa. Says the Chassam Sofer, what would happen if I gave money to an Isha? Let's say someone gave me money in a way that I own it on a Derabbanan level. And then I went 10 minutes later and gave the money to the Isha for Kedushin. Then, although I only own a Derabbanan, that would create a Kedushin Daraisa. Because now, again, this needs more explanation than I'm giving. Even though now I still only own it rabbinically, but somehow, because it's one step removed from the initial obtaining, now it works on a deraisa level. That's the words of the Chassam Sofer.
With the rishus, but the daravas. Once I owned it, the derabbanan.
So therefore, says the Chassam Sofer here also. When it comes to daravas, he says the same thing. What happens? This era becomes hers. So although it becomes her era midrabbanan, and then later she makes a kinyan with it. That's not a problem of a kinyan derabbanan because it's two steps. If it would be all in one shot, then it would be a problem. But because in our Gemara it's a two-step process, therefore we're no longer bound by the rule kinyan derabbanan lay mahana le derais.
Yeah. Both shvi meirad mayim shloshter. There's no ma'isa kinyan. It's just dibur.
Okay.
So maybe in those cases where all you have is words, so we're not going to take.
Even though again the kinyan level doesn't change.
Correct, but there's no ma'isa to say that anything was done, as opposed to.
Yeah, but it's not sure what. Yeah.
There's a ma'isa. There's correct. There's a ma'isa to Sina for sure. Because
I want to talk about that also.
Received it. That's what we're discussing here. But at least it was a ma'isa, so the Rabbana could say, well, if there's a ma'isa, we'll consider.
But again, if you hold that the Rabbanan level can't make it the right, so you can stand on your head, it's not going to change. You want to suggest that what's
a chiluk exists, though.
Yeah, you want to suggest there are stronger and weaker the Rabbanans. Maybe it's such a chiluk. So there's one last pshat in Achrayim before we go back to the Rishayim to be explain this whole sugya. The Dvar of Rome. It's kedai to talk about the Dvar of Rome. Stamazay. The Dvar of Rome was the last Kovna Rav. He was the last Kovna Rav until Kovna was no longer. He died in 1943. He was appointed the last Rav, and he died in 1943 in the Kovna Ghetto. He was sick, and he caught some ailment in the ghetto, and he died in the Kovna Ghetto in 1943. But the Chapa, the Dvar of Rome, was that the Dvar of Rome was in Switzerland when the war broke out. He was in getting medical treatment in Switzerland, and he knew what was going on in Europe, and he had the option to stay in Switzerland, and he would have been saved. He writes that he felt that as the captain of the ship, this terminology that you throw around a lot, the captain of the ship and the leader of the team, he went back. Everyone says Rabbi Chana went back. The Kovna Rav also went back. He didn't have a yeshiva. He had a whole kila. He had a big city of Kovna. He went back, and he was put into the Kovna Ghetto, and he ultimately died. He wasn't killed directly by the Nazis, but they were the reason he got sick, and he died in the Kovna Ghetto. The reason why the Dvar Avraham is very famous is because he gave smicha to somebody that's very popular today. He gave smicha to Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik came to America, he wanted to get a job in Skokie, in the yeshiva in Skokie. The problem was when he got there, they ran out of money, so they couldn't give him a job. So someone told him there's a rabbinic position in Boston. But the problem was Rav Soloveitchik had no smicha. Like he needed some smicha to get him a job. But okay, he didn't have smicha. So he sent back to the Dvar Avraham, who was his relative. Because the Dvar of Rome was from Reb Chaim Volozhin's family. Reb Soloveitchik was from the Volozhin family. So they were related. So he sent back to the Kovna Rav, please send me a smicha so I can get a job. I need to get a job here in America. So if you look, you can get it. You can get copies of it. Beautiful smicha that he wrote. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful what he wrote, his smicha for Reb Soloveitchik. So he... Huh? Yeah, they're distant cousins.
So how did his brother get the job in Skokie?
I don't know. Maybe their money came back. I don't know. Yeah. So if Soloveitchik took the smicha and he was able to get a rabbinic position in Boston. So you can look, you can go online, you can read the smicha. It's not a long smicha, it's a short page. It's a beautiful description that he has for Soloveitchik. But the Dvar of Rum, it's funny. I have my mother's grandfather also has smicha from the Dvar of Rum in 1920. My mother has it at home. She told me about it. He also got smicha from the Dvar Avraham, the Kovna Rav. He was a big paisik. Everyone loved him. They say the reason why everyone loved the Dvar Avraham was because he came from Reb Chaim Volozhin. So why does everyone love Reb Chaim Volozhin? Because it used to be if you came from the Vilna Gaon, you had yichus. Now it's if you come from Reb Chaim Volozhin, you have yichus. Why? Because the Vilna Gaon signed a cheirim against chassidim. They say Reb Chaim Volozhin never signed the cheirim against chassidim. So because Reb Chaim Volozhin never signed the cheirim against chassidim, so anyone who's an eidik of Reb Chaim Volozhin is already, you know, kodesh kadosh. So since the Dvar Avraham was an Eidikal from Chaim Volozhin, and so were the Soloveitchiks, that's why the Kodesh Kadosh. The only problem is, history has shown that although Reb Chaim Volozhin didn't sign on the Cheirim, he wrote the Cheirim. It's in his handwriting. They found later it was in his handwriting, so the whole thing is not true. It was his Ksaviyat. So clearly the Dvar Avraham assumed it took a part in whatever he held on Chassidim. But the Dvar Avraham was a Talmud Muvak, and he was mamish the last Rav of Kovna. He was a Rebbe to Rebbe Ephraim Oshri. Rabbi Feinmush was also in the Kovna Ghetto. He wrote Chaz and Chuvas Mimamakim. He survived the war and he came to Brooklyn and he had a shul in Brooklyn. He had a yeshiva. He has a son-in-law who has yeshiva now in Muncie with the name, I think, Shari Ephraim or something Ephraim. So he was a Talmud of the Dvar Ram. The Dvar Ram didn't have a yeshiva. He was a Rav. So he wrote Chaz and Chuvas. Now, if you read through Chaz and Chuvas, you say to yourself, this is not even a gay at all, halacha l'maisa. 3/4 of the Chaz and Chuvas are learned in the yeshivas, not because of halacha l'maisa. They're all lamdish. They're all lamdish pieces. He has two pieces that the Olam tumbles la halacha. One is about Dir Malchus Adina, and one is he has a chiddush that Mila Shalei Bezmanoi has to be done immediately. A Mila Bezmanoi we hold can be done any day on the 8th day. We just do al zrizin. He says, but a Mila Shalei Bezmanoi you have to do the first second you have a chance. That's the Dvar Ram's chiddush, which the Chazanish disagreed on, and we don't. No. I'm saying whatever the first time you have, you got to do it immediately. It's not Zrizin anymore. It's a whole new din. The Chazanish disagree, but you read through the rest of the Dvar Avram. It's unbelievable. It's all Amdish stuff. All the yeshivas, they learn Dvar Avram. Do you think why they are learning all the Shas and Shuvah Svarm? Because 3/4 of it is not negated to anything. Allah Chalmais, it's all Amdish stuff. So the Dvar Avram, he writes over here, Alamdish Chap over here, to get around the kashas of the Rishonim. So he writes, well, number 10, well, the Inyan Kushas are Rishonim B'dal Ramas, Hech Moyol Leget. He's bothered with the kasha. How does a king of the rabbanim create a chalais deraisa? So he comes up with an interesting twist. Near lila taritz, the rishus rabbim he rishus l'chol oilam. He says because we're starting at the wrong premise. You have to start backwards. We always assume that no one has permission in rishus rabbim. He says it's backwards. Everyone has permission in rishus rabbim. We all own rishus rabbim. It's all our chatzerim. Aye, so why can't I be kainer in rishus rabbim? He writes v'hodol ekani le mitam chatzer. One second. If Rishus Rabbim is my backyard, so why am I not kind of chatzar? Who should not have a chatzar shutvin? Because it's one glorified shutvis. Therefore, we can't, in a partnership, be kind of one from the other in a partnership. So therefore he writes, Shari afle makni yeshba rishus v'chatzar rishlo na mehave. Because you all have rights, so your rights blocks my rights, and my rights blocks your rights, and we go in circles and no one has anything. So now when Chazal stepped in, you know what Chazal did? Is they basically pulled everyone off the streets. Everyone else is now restricted. So now, says Avram, we automatically go back to the way things used to be. How the way things used to be? I have a kinyan deraisa in the public domain. Why am I normally not kinyan deraisa in the public domain? It's because you get in the way. The Rabbanim moved you out of the way. So now we go back to the way things used to be. Which is, I own the outside on a deraisa level. Says the Avram, you're not kind of a deraisa. That's his chap. It's an interesting chap to suggest like that. I would have disagreed on the premise, and I would have said, what do you mean we all own the Rishas? None of us own the Rishas Rabbim. Right.
No.
It's
a big difference.
Yeah.
Let's say Rishas Rabbim.
Right. That just means we all have permission. Well, again, I think it gets totally in some of the laws and regulations of who's responsible and who owns and then Hezek and cleaning the snow and all these other things, right?
You say Peninsula Boulevard, I own 1/10,000.
That's what he's suggesting. That's right. Yeah,
it's the community.
I would have thought that Pshat is no one owns it. The county owns it. Right. Nor of us, we pay and we have rights to use it. We can put our cars there and we can walk there. But again, if someone gets hurt, according to this, if someone were to get hurt on public area, we should all have to pay.
Well, we do.
Okay, I guess that's the way it works. But and that's his lumdus. His lumdus is that it's backwards. We keep on assuming the pshat of Rishus Rabbim is no one has Rishus Rabbim. He says it's exactly the opposite. Everyone has Rishus Rabbim. But everyone's rights gets in my way. So if all Chazal did was basically, it's like when the police close off a street. That's what the Dvar Avram is understanding. The king of Rabbanu Dalam is basically Chazal cleared everyone else off and left me this street. So what's the pshat? The pshat is now I'm just using what I always had. I always had right to walk down the street without anyone getting in my way. Just everyone else had rights. So if I can move everyone else away, there's a new lumbus. Next time you see when the police block off a street, this is the lumbus. The pshat is they're blocking off. Tell the cop. The pshat is not that you're giving me specific rights down the block. The pshat is you're going back to the way things used to be. We all had rights, just everyone else got in the way. So if I can move everyone away, everything could work. That's the way the Dvar Avram explains why the fizeh Itaka is deraisa. It's not a shayla of drabon and afkin. No fancy lom. It's simple. The reason why you're kinyan is because every kinyan dalaramis really comes out to be a deraisa. You could argue, I guess, yesh ladam. What would the Dvar Avram tell you about Mecca Chomemka according to this? He'll tell you what. By Mecca Chomemka, Chazal never cleared the streets. They never got involved. They only got involved by these things that they needed to.
It's deraisa because it becomes my chatzar because everybody else. No, everybody's chatzar.
It was always mine. It was always mine. That's right. It was always mine starting off. It's just that everyone else got in the way. I got
mine, yours, and ours.
Right, and now I got rid of
them. Yours and ours.
So now we're good to go. Right, that's the way the Dvar Avram understood it. Okay, Mr. Shem, next week we're going to turn the tables. And we're going to find Rishonim that hold the King of the Amos, although clearly was the Rabbanon, somehow magically when it comes together works deraisa, and that needs to be explained how that works exactly.